Say amen. All right, we're reading from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the who? Son of God. Now, as we look at this, I'd like to entitle this Victory Over Trials tonight. Victory Over Trials. Amen. All right, faith. So we've come some distance talking about faith. Faith is not a movement. Faith is a lifestyle. And when you're talking about living by faith, you're talking about using faith really in every area of life to exercise in your faith every day, every hour, 24/7. And that every single thing that you do and things that you're involved in, you do it with faith involved in it. That sometimes what happens is people are trying to go to places that they don't have to use any faith. But what I told you is, I heard one man say, and I believe it's true, that to get to a place where you don't have to use any faith in your life is probably one of the most dangerous places a believer can go. Because you have got an opponent out there. And that opponent really comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So the thing that you have to overcome it with is faith. And faith has to be used. It has to be worked. It's like a muscle. Gets stronger and stronger as you use it. Sometimes people start out too high and it gets discouraged in their faith. You don't start out believing God for 18-bedroom house with your faith. What you do is just, you know, start out right where you are, right in the house, things and raising children, your marriage, and so forth and so on. Then pretty soon kind of move outside and start at faith and developing it. That's where I started, and that's where people who taught me about faith started. I remember Bishop Oyedepo talked about faith helpers, that God puts people in our lives who walk by faith. And those people are to be examples for us and to help our faith and see the examples and encourage our faith to grow. So, the enemy will do just about anything to challenge your faith. The Bible says, when the word of God is sown, Satan cometh immediately to try to steal the word that's sown in their hearts. And that's found in Mark chapter 4. So everything you do now in the kingdom of God, it operates by faith. So what you have to do is develop your faith. You have to have enough faith so that you can do things in this world. The world is fear-based. By the way, and the enemy keeps it like that because that's fear and ignorance are two of the biggest things that he uses to overcome people in their lives. Now, faith is your only fight, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 12. We fight the good fight of faith. You don't fight people, don't fight denominations and so forth. What you do is fight the good fight of faith. Now, the thing about faith is you must keep hearing faith. Don't, you know, rest your faith and go hear something else because it'll contaminate your faith. And when that is done, then faith is hard to work because faith is like a servant. You have to send it out, let him work, and he comes back with results. So as you release your faith, you have to do it and allow faith to do his job, praise God. And so now faith has characteristics about it. One, it operates like a seed. It's found over in Luke chapter 17. Faith can grow. It talks about that over in Thessalonians. Faith works like a servant, again, Luke chapter 17. Also, that faith works by love, talks about that in the book of Galatians, and that faith does the impossible. Faith does the impossible. So when anybody says to you, hey, it's not possible we could do that, then now you know it's a faith project. It's something that you're going to have to use your faith to do. Say amen to that. Now, what faith is not a feeling. So you can't feel faith. You can't think that you can feel it and know that faith is working because of what you feel. Now, you can sense it because you can develop your senses to be exercised on that level. That's found in Hebrews chapter 5, I think. And so if that be the case, it's like fishing. I'll use that example. You can throw a rod or fishing pole or, you know, bait out in the water, and you have a pole, and experienced fishermen can tell when something's nibbling at that bait, and they'll know when to pull it, you know, so the hook will catch the fish. But person who has not experienced throws it out there and comes back and lift the thing up and all the bait's gone and they didn't feel anything and so forth. So you'll find that when you're operating more and more like in faith, you can feel it. You can know when there's a tug on your faith. You know when the faith is working, so forth and so on. You can see faith. You found that out in Mark chapter 2 when they brought this man, four men brought this man who was lame and brought him on a stretcher, and he couldn't get in by the doorway. So they went up on the roof, lowered the man down, and the man was lowered down in front of Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's kind of interesting because on down in Mark chapter 2, he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. The man immediately got up and walked. Now, it's interesting how he said first, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that led us into righteousness because the Bible talks about righteousness. Let's look at it. 2 Peter, in chapter 1. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, look what it says in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice what he said, has obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. Interesting about the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is very, very important to faith. He said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first, also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that the just shall live by faith. So this righteousness is key to revealing faith. It's key for your faith walk. A lot of times people are trying to increase in faith and feel condemned at the same time. Condemnation is designed to knock faith out of your life. And what God doesn't do is condemn you. He convicts you. Conviction leaves faith in place. And righteousness is that part of you which is now the nature of God, that when that righteousness is fulfilled, you'll find two things happen. One, you'll get perfect fellowship with the Father. That means you can hear his voice real clear. And the next thing you know, you'll see, is that faith will flow like a flood, that you don't need to work up faith. It wasn't meant for us to sit back and have to work up faith. That was not the way Adam was created. Adam was just created to walk by faith, praise God. So faith is a dominating force and it's a creative force. So faith will stop storms and faith will create organs in your body. Glory to God. All right. Faith will tap into the power of God to deliver you your desires. So whatever you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them and ye shall have them. Notice no feelings in that. What you have to do is believe. Faith is not just believing God, but obeying God in the process. Praise God. And you'll find that what happens with faith, let's go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10, 17. Are you with me? All right. Romans 10, 17. And you know the scripture. Praise God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, come on, by the word of God. Now, let me just say a couple of words about that because God gave me a little more study on that this morning. This hearing that he's talking about, this is not logos. There are two words for word. It's logos, L-O-G-O-S, and rhema. And rhema. Logos is given to everybody. But rhema, R-H-E-M-A, is given to that specific person that's waiting on God. And when rhema comes, faith comes. To do what? Whatever that word says. And sometimes people are trying to act on logos. And logos was never intended for us to act on. It was intended that the rhema word is what you act on. Because when the rhema comes, God is obligated. Because he spoke it. Does that make sense to you? All right. When we came to Forest Park, and it was time to get this mall, I had to get a rhema word. And when it came time for us to get out of Sister Beverly's home and get our own place, we had tried to get out. Every time we did, something would happen to the car, it'd break down, and we'd have to spend $500 to get it fixed and so forth and so on. Notice, couldn't get out. Why? No rhema. See? And what happened is I backed off, fasted for about 3 days, then heard God. And God said, slow down. He said, now listen for God and listen to God and then do what he says. Act. Now that's a whole sermon right there. Four steps. Because a lot of times what we're doing is moving too fast. Now on Sundays we're preaching on this whole idea of Martha cumbered about many things. Y'all remember that, don't you? He's doing many things. Why? She's busy. But Rhema demands you slow down. See, because you got to hear God. It's God that's going to speak that. And when he speaks it, it'll flood your spirit with faith. Now, if you don't act on it, it's a missed opportunity. But the fact of it is, he'll give it to you. And he says over in, what, Luke chapter 9, I think it's Martha and Mary, he said, you are cumbered about many things. You're so busy. So if you want the rhema, you need to slow down. Because that faith will come by hearing. Now, how you can do it, you can meditate the words, so forth and so on to produce that rhema. But I'm just saying that I've got to overcome the world. And the enemy was causing breakdowns, causing all this kind of stuff. But I got one rhema. And that was a specific word spoken to me. And when he spoke it to me, he said this, decree what you want. I heard it just as clear as I'm listening to you right now. Decree what you want. I said, all right, we'll be out of this house in 7 days. Now I start saying it, and you ask my wife. The sixth day came. I said, well, baby, we'll be out here in 6 days. Now, a lot of pressure was coming on her. Why? She wasn't operating on rhema. I was. It's a specific word to you, but when it comes, faith comes with it. And God is with it. Say amen to this. Now, I'm not going to teach on that tonight because that's breakthrough stuff right there. You might need a breakthrough in your life tonight. Well, the first thing you do is stop being cumbered about many things. Slow down. Back off. Praise God. Turn the plate down for a day. Just see what God has to say. Hallelujah. Say amen to this. All right. Now, the idea of faith is that Jesus died to provide things for us. And the New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, of what he died not only to provide, but now he is at the right hand of the Father probating the will. This is the will. Say amen. Amen. That things in here belong to you. It's a better covenant. Now, if you look better covenant up in the Hebrew, you'll see that better covenant doesn't mean the benefits of the old covenant are eliminated. It means that the benefits of the old covenant are added to. I guess y'all hear me what I'm saying. All right. Now, whatever God's gonna do for you, he has already done it. Now let's just confirm that one more time, because faith reaches out and takes it. You're not taking it from God. He's already given it to you. What you're taking it from is the devil who's sitting on your land. All right? So let's go over here to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 46. Are you there? Isaiah 46. Are y'all with me here? Can we get into this thing tonight and romp around in here for a minute? Look at Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Declaring, let's go verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times and things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasures. Look what he says. Declaring the end from where? The beginning. The beginning. Come on back over to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. Have you got it? Look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, wait a minute. Hold on now. Where did you hear that at? Jesus where? On the cross. Hey, Jesus hadn't even come into the earth here. Got it? Now, what am I saying about this is whatever God's going to do for you, he's already done. See, God doesn't start till he's finished. He doesn't let you loose till it's all done. Now, your faith is the thing that has to take it. Because what people are doing is waiting on God. Whoa, wait a minute. You're not waiting on God. God has already done it for you. So we're going to have the faith that takes and not the faith that waits. Make sense to you? All right. So all these things are done for us, and you and I have to receive them by faith. Let's just see something that's done. All right. Let's go over to, now I could go to more scriptures. Wait a minute. I better go one more. I heard that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. My point to you is that everything he's done for you, everything he's going to do for you, he's already done. Come on, he's already healed you. Come on, he's already made you righteous. Come on, he's already forgiven you. All right, look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, underline it, it's an old English word, it's a past tense, means action already completed, who hath blessed us with, come on, all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, where? In Christ. So all these things are done, but they're done spiritually. So you have to take them out of the spirit world and bring them into the natural. Now, how are you going to do it? Come on, say it. By faith. You're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to put your faith to work. You're going to have to reach out into the world of an unseen and take hold of that promise that you desire, that thing that belongs to you, and bring it back into the world of the seen. You're going to have to do that. Now, who's going to fight you? The devil. Why? Because he knows that those things that he's holding back are things that are not only going to glorify God, but they're going to put you on top of the world. All right, now, as we do this, the natural senses belong to the natural man. Got it? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 5, just very quickly. 2 Corinthians, I said chapter 5, chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The natural senses belong to the natural man. And they can't play any part in faith. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man, what? Perish. Yet the inward man is what? Renewed. Keep going. Day by day. So those are two people. You got an outward man and you got an inward man. Say amen to this. And the outward man is not supposed to be leading you. You're supposed to be led by the inner man. Because the inner man's in touch with God. So the outward man may want to go to the casino. The inward man may want to go to a Wednesday night Bible study. Hallelujah. So let's go over to one more place. 1 John chapter 5, please. Remember, after you get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, faith is the most important thing people need to learn. And most folk who, because they don't know faith, are trying to live somewhere, or go somewhere, or go and be a part of something that there is no faith involved in it. And that's the most dangerous place a believer can be, because there's a time you're going to have to use your faith. Look what it said in verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, underline anything, glory to God, according to his will, what does he do? He hears us. So if we ask anything according to his will, he's going to hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, come on. We know that we what? Have, underline have, the petition that we desired of him. So to consult your natural senses that your prayer has been answered or granted is as ridiculous as trying for me to read this book with my ear. Got it? I cannot consult my natural senses to find out whether my prayer has been answered. Come on now. See, this is easy. It just takes a departure from the flesh. The flesh doesn't want you to leave Egypt. The flesh is trying to talk you in to staying right there. That you're not sure about this area out here because this is the unknown. Well, folks, in the kingdom, the unknown is friendly. That's where you want to be. All right, so the faith, we talked about it. It's a faith of Abraham. We talked about that, and that's a faith that he had, the faith that God told him about or taught him to call things that what? Be not as though they were. All right. Let's keep going here. There's a lot of things I can say about that. Now, let's go to what I'd like to focus in on tonight. So if you've got promises. Let me go to two more places first. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm trying to meet in my time here. Romans chapter 5. Okay. By the way, that's why the Rhema word is so necessary, because even with pastors, it's supposed to be that I stay before God and get a Rhema. Because the Rhema, when I preach it, you're going to say this, boy, that's just what I needed to hear tonight. Why? Because God spoke to me and told me what to preach for you. See? That's why she came from the Queen of Sheba came from Sheba or wherever she came from to hear the word of God. He was solving problems. The Rhema solves problems. Okay, all right, look what it says here. You with me? Therefore, being justified, now justified means what? Made righteous. Put it in your Bible if you didn't. Being justified by faith, we have what? Peace, come on, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of your benefits of the inheritance that you have is that you have peace. Oh, if I could just get some peace. You got some peace. What you need to do is learn how to take it. You have peace. I'm sitting on the airplane. Boy, I sure hope this thing doesn't go down. That's because you lost your peace. What you need to do now, sit back, use your faith, grab hold of your peace, and your peace will flood your heart. Praise God. Let's go. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Satan has various ways of trying to take care of your peace. Yes. Well, what time is it? Where is that boy with my car? Well, you need some peace. Yes. And you need your car back. Yes. Okay, now. Okay, let's. All right, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to another one. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Now, all these are yours, but you have to take them by faith. And faith is not a feeling. See, as long as you're in the feeling realm, now you're not in faith. So you can't access your inheritance, even though it's yours, even though he's already given it to you. It's yours. Okay? You don't need to fight for it, get mad at anybody, get jealous at me because I'm getting mine. You don't need to do that. You need to work on your own faith. Where is your faith? Look what it says here in verse 57. But thanks, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which we hope will give us the victory. Who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's yours. Yours where? Now. When did he give you that victory? Come on, when did he give you that victory? All right, let's put it up there. Put up there, if you will, put up Ephesians chapter 1 again and verse 3. All right, let's read verse 3 again, and then we'll come down to 1. Boy, they handling that thing. Go here. They're handling that thing, boy. I almost gave you $100. Okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So when did he bless you? When he chose you, he blessed you. Got it? So you've been blessed. When were you chosen though? So when did he bless you? God doesn't start till he's finished. He finished everything. Jesus finished his work on the cross and said, it is finished. That means he got it all back. It's yours. The only thing that was left now is the blood on the altar. He went down in hell and paid the price 3 days and 3 nights. All of it was done by faith. And he paid that price. And at the end of that 3 days, a voice rang out from the universe and said, get him up. And he got up and rose up. And he went and defeated the devil in open combat. He then got and said, I am he who was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And in my hand are the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
Praise God, that's good preaching material.
He went on up there and went to heaven and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. What does the blood do? It speaks. It's your witness. Praise God. Isn't that powerful?
Y'all feel like preaching now. Y'all feel like hollering to me.
The blood, man, praise God. Faith in the blood. All right, so notice, he's already given you the victory. All right, let's go to this last part. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Oh, that was good preaching right there. That's preaching material, man. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is alive. Buddha and Confucius, all them, they're dead, but Jesus is alive. Okay, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you. Now I'm going to have to slow down just a little bit on this, because this thing is rich. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Oh, have mercy. All right. Now, the word temptation, you can put it in your Bible, temptation, tests, or trial. Okay? Temptation, test, or trial. Common to man. Here I was today, I was playing with my instructor, and I had him on the ropes, brother. He got away, but I had him on the ropes there for a while. I don't mind saying it publicly either. But I was playing tennis with him, and he hit a shot that brought me into the court some, and he knew I could put it away. And this is what he did. Are you ready? Fake me out. And guess what I did? I missed a shot. Now, such is common to man. It means that Satan cannot tempt you outside of your five senses. I'm talking about the devil is doing you like this. You better listen to what I'm saying, because some of y'all should be much further along than you are right now. He's not using anything supernatural. He can't. He's limited to this temporal realm. So he cannot tempt you in the spirit. He had to tempt you through your five senses. And when he did that, I'm thinking he was running over there to that side. So I was going to hit to that side, but I heard his feet, and these big old feet were hitting on the thing. And I said, let me change sides. And I tried to change sides and hit the thing out. He said, see? Well, yeah, I see. You can't let him do that to you. Y'all got to hear me what I'm saying now. He takes something through your senses. What you just heard, what you feel like it's, you know, well, I just feel like Pastor don't like me. See, you are being tempted. Because I don't care nothing about, I care about you, I love you, but I'm not thinking about you. I got bigger issues than you. All of that, see, that you're listening to something and you're being in a natural realm. And that's where he steals from you. You can't do that. You start out on the track. God gives you this, gives you a business, gives you this, so forth and so on. You got to not listen to that, because that's designed to make you stop this. You got to set out on your mission of what you're supposed to do. Say amen to that. And hammer that word all the way through it. See, put it up there, please. I'm coming back to that verse. Put up Revelation chapter 12 in verse, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Put it up there. All right, look what it says. Sang with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. You see that verse? That verse is saying this is what Jesus received for you. Notice one of the things that he received, riches. So he gives you an idea of a business to do this and so forth. So you're headed for your riches. But here comes. I want you to hear it. Because he's given you victory. Yes.
Come on now. He's made you rich. You better hear what I'm saying. He has made you where whatever you do will prosper. I hope y'all listening to me on this. All right? Boy, when he did that today, I said, that was the devil if I ever seen the devil in my life. That was really something. All right? So, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now, with every trial that you have, God makes a way to escape it. Got it? Now, I know we've sang songs like, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain, you know, all of that. Been in the storm too long and please don't pass me by. I know we've done all of that. But we need this teaching. Because the devil does not have a test in your life that God has not already made a way out of it. You hear what I'm saying now? See, because Jesus suffered for us. He took our suffering. There is a way to escape out of anything you're in right now. Now, I'm not talking about a way to escape after you get your head beat in. I want to show you something here. Now, listen, don't fight me. Just listen to me. There is a way to escape. God made the way to escape before the temptation came. But you have to find the way by faith. Look what it says here. Let's go to a scripture. Let's go to John. We're close to John. John chapter 5. Let's look at that. Glory to God. When is faith? Now. Faith is always when? Now. Not tomorrow. It's now. Here is a situation where some people have been at a pool called Bethesda, having five porches, all that indicates grace. And there lay, verse 3, a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They're waiting. And an angel went down to a certain season in the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever at first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had had an infirmity, how long? 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now a long time been in that case, he said to him, do you want to be made whole? The impotent man answered, said, sir, I have no who? Man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said to the man, what? Arise. Take up thy bed, come on, and walk. Now let me ask you something. When could this have happened for this man? 38 years ago. I'm saying that the saints have been involved in things that have been dragging on, and God has made a way to escape it. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Jonah.
Jonah. I'll give you a few minutes to find Jonah. Jonah. In the book of Jonah, where's Jonah? Jonah, as you know, Jonah was going the wrong way. You can read it for yourself. But as he was going the wrong way, he was on a ship with some guys, and the storm kept coming. And that ship was about to sink, and they said, wait a minute, somebody's on here wrong. Do you know you can have wrong folk on your ship? And you start enduring problems that you didn't have to endure. So they threw him overboard. I'm not telling you what to do with him, but this is what he did. You got to get rid of him, boy, I'm telling you. Okay, you try to hold on to him, whether the Lord wanted, walk in love. Yeah, love is get him off your ship. Okay? You love him. You leave him on there, he gonna sink your ship. All right, now look what it says here. Look at verse. So he what happened? He was thrown off the ship, and he ended up a whale, big fish, swallowed him up. Now I have to watch what I say here because I'm not sure what it says. I said fish one time, and somebody wrote me a letter. It wasn't fish. It was a big whale. It was, I don't know, something. Anyway, don't write me nothing. It was something big. It's swallowing him up. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and the prayer came unto thee and to thine holy temple. They that observe what? Lying vanities. Verse 8. Pardon me. Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. They that observe what? Lying vanities forsake their own what? Mercy. You look too much at stuff that is factual instead of being true. You'll forsake what is true. Verse 9. But I will do what? Sacrifice unto thee with a what? Voice of what? Thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of who? The Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. What got Jonah set free? His faith. But how did he execute his faith? He began to thank and praise God right in the middle of the worst situation in his life. See, he's made a way to escape, but it's going to have to be found by faith. So in the worst situation of your life, you can start praising God, and God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God comes down, the enemies are scattered. What am I telling you? How about Acts chapter 2, Second Corinthians chapter 20, when they started praising God. God made them fight one another. How about 2 Kings chapter 19? This is when Hezekiah had been troubled. The enemy was coming at him. The Assyrians were about to take him, and he didn't know what to do. He sent to the man of God, the prophet Isaiah, and said, hey, go get a word for me. And they went to him, got a word, brought it back, and gave it to King Hezekiah. He took that word up into the temple and began to pray that word to God. Say amen to that. Amen. He prayed that word to God and received that thing by faith. And the Bible says that night, now understand, its enemy had been harassing him probably for months now. But that night, he got delivered. I'm talking about we've been in the storm too long. I'm saying that when that storm came up to that boat and Jesus was on that boat with those disciples, they woke him up, And Jesus walked up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And immediately, he didn't wait on the storm to subside. He didn't wait on it to just pass. He knew that he had a way of escape. And when he worked it, he was delivered right now. I'm telling you, you might be enduring something with your marriage. I got news for you. God says there is no test or trial come to you, but such as come in the man. But God, who is faithful, will make a way to escape for you. You might be going through something in a court case. I got news for you. We can put an end to it tonight. I got news for you. Here is David. He came up and Goliath had been taunting the children of Israel for 40 days. But David knew his covenant right. I'm telling you, your covenant right says there is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful that he'll not let you be tempted beyond your able, but will with that temptation, he will make a way out. He doesn't want you to be in fighting and fighting and worn out and hoping that you win. He wants you out now. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise. You are coming out. You in that situation, I've been trying to get out of that house, trying to get our own place, but I had to slow down. Listen for God, because God's got a way out. And that way out was made before the test ever came. Everything, he knew what the devil's gonna do tomorrow. And he had made a way of escape for you. All right. So you don't have to get your head beat in. You come out, you got bandages all over your head and carrying on. Well, I tell you, I got the devil on the run. Only thing about it, he's chasing me. No, that is not going to work for you. You coming out tonight. I said, you're coming out tonight. Give the Lord a praise. Pray. God. Ha! Coming out! Now! It's forces that are trying to resist you. They're trying to get it so that you can't make it to your wealthy place. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Now you might be outside of this covenant tonight. I don't know who you are, what's going on in your life, but I do know this. Jesus came for you. The Bible says he came to seek and to save everybody that's lost.